This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome, welcome one and all to the very first episode of 2022. We are starting the year off right.
We're back.
And we're starting it with some bad things that some people did. And we're going to try to figure out how we could turn them, if we had to, into a good book or a good movie or a good comic book or a good something in just 10 short minutes. Zach, Sarah, are you guys excited to get back into the Bad Ideas Thunderdome?
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, this is like the New Year's resolution. We got to make 2022 everything it can be.
The year of the bad idea.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
I feel like we've just been in the year of the bad idea for the last 7 years. So I'm really excited for this to be the best bad idea year yet.
Well, let's not break a tradition. Let's just roll on into our first bad idea of the year. And it comes in the form of an article from our good friends at the Huffington Post. Dear listeners, if you would like to read along to this bad idea, there will be a link in the episode description so that you can find your way to the article. Zach, Sarah, shall we get started?
Bring it.
Let's do it.
All right. The headline reads, man tries to dodge COVID vaccine using fake arm.
Oh, God.
Okay.
The article
I've
begins.
I've seen this in a cartoon, but I didn't know. I mean, okay, it's real now.
Great. It is also apparently the year of the cartoon come to life. It's true. But the article begins the right way with the sentence, talk about giving someone the cold shoulder.
Woof.
A man in Italy who wanted proof of vaccination but didn't want to get the shot attempted to trick medical workers using a fake arm. According to a local nurse. Nurse Filippa Bua in the city of Bieja said she first noticed something was amiss pretty quickly. Quote, when I uncovered the arm, I felt skin that was cold and gummy, and the color was too light. She told Italian newspaper Corriere della Sera per the Associated Press. She said that at first she thought he had an actual prosthetic arm and he had simply accidentally offered her the wrong one.
Whoops.
But that was not the case. The man was wearing a covering on his torso with two quote-unquote rubber foam arms attached, Bua told the New York Times.
Wow.
And the man ultimately admitted that his goal had been to obtain a COVID-19 vaccine certificate without receiving the shot, she said. Last month, and this article came out in December of last year, so this would have been November, Italy mandated that venues like bars, restaurants, and theaters, among others, will require a, quote, super green pass that proves the holder either has been vaccinated against COVID-19 or had the illness and recovered. According to the Times, the man, who is a dentist, needed proof of vaccination for work. The dentist's actions received condemnations from officials in the region of Piedmont, which is where Bieja is located. Alberto Chiorio, president of the Piedmont regional government, called the attempt at deception, quote, an offense to the region's health system, CNN reported. In a joint statement, Chiorio and Piedmont's health counselor said, quote, the case could be classified as ridiculous, except that we are talking about a gesture of enormous gravity, unacceptable for the sacrifice the whole community is paying for the pandemic. The dentist may soon be facing criminal charges, according to the Associated Press. So that is that, the story of a man who tried to cartoon his way out of this problem that he was having, and it didn't quite go his way.
So I have a confession and then a challenge for us.
Well, let me start the clock and then okay. It is not all running, right. So confess.
So as I often do, gathered several ideas today. And one of the ones that I thought about bringing but did not is that apparently in the United States, young people, specifically people under the age of 21 in the US, are having trouble because their fake IDs to buy alcohol do not match their vaccine cards.
Oh my God.
And so there is now a black market for fake vaccine cards to match fake IDs. Oh, and wow. I want us to bring that into this because I feel like the only thing that would be more cartoonish than someone using a fake arm to try and receive a COVID shot is to do it to buy a six pack of cheap beer.
The super bad remake for 2022 is going to just be
convoluted.
Absolutely lit, but also much more convoluted. You're right, Zach. The Adventures of McLovin are going to get much more difficult to parse out.
Just weird.
All right, we got the
super,
ID.
Super weird.
Now we got to get the fake arms.
Right. At a certain point, it's just like, this is not worth it, guys. Like, let's just go play like PlayStation or something. Like, it is not worth like acquiring all the things we need to get this beer.
Yeah. No, the nerds who are playing Fortnite or whatever are much happier.
They're winning. Yes.
They're pawning. But yes, let's, oof. I mean, oof. I don't know what to do with this story other than like,
be horrified,
dramatize it, and then watch this person suffer the consequences. Like, watch this dentist's life fall apart as a result of the criminal prosecution.
I will say, I like, remember that you can take it out of the context of COVID, which I think right now feels very hot and very immediate, and like, at least to me, borderline impossible to sympathize with this person. But you know, but I think that a man doing something like, you know, wearing a fake arm to get out of having to do something, I think that there may be a good idea in there if you divorce it a little bit from the particular setting of the story.
Let's swap out the needles and have them not be vaccine needles, but the needles used in getting a tattoo. Someone uses a fake arm to try and get out of, you know, like
getting a
group
tattoo.
getting a tattoo, like a group tattoo situation, or like their significant other wants them to get matching, but he's not sure.
He's trying to impress someone and he's like, oh, I'm definitely going to get this tattoo. I'm only going to do it at this one shop, though. It's the best shop. And they're booked up for like the next 2 years. That's the only reason why I'm not doing it.
Why I don't have one yet.
At that moment, the person that works at the front desk there is like, actually, we just had an opening for tomorrow. So like, come back tomorrow and we'll like get you inked up. It'll be great. And it's just like,
tomorrow, you say. Could it be any other day?
Okay, guys, I think I have a direction to take this.
Hit us.
You know how all these people are fucking terrified of the vaccine being like somehow a microchip that like has like their identity on it and all this stuff? And
I don't know what you're talking about, Zach. The digital life has been a vast improvement ever since I got my 7G connection.
Okay, Mr. 7G. that is coming to 7G.
All hail Bill Gates. What? Never mind. Right.
So the idea is this: in a world in the future where identity is now like assigned at like say 18, by the virtue of being tattooed with some digital, you know, call it the mark of the beast, what you will,
you get the barcode.
Right. Before that,
yeah, you get barcoded.
Before that, you're not, and so you can kind of be anybody. I mean, no, most people don't fuck with this, but like our protagonist is in a cohort that's like about to get their tattoo, but they've been say like posing as somebody else to get an internship for an opportunity they otherwise would have never been picked for. And they need to put off the mark as long as possible.
I like it.
And like, it's kind of an impossible situation. Yeah. I'm curious where it goes.
Yeah.
Next.
This is like this updated Gattaca situation. I love it.
Right. Gattaca with tattoos.
Gotta go with tattoos.
I really like it. And there may even be sort of something where it's like in a week, like, you know, like let's say that their 18th birthday is August 1st.
Sure.
On August 8th, they have this hookup that can get them like a counterfeit tattoo for what they really want to do. But that means that they need to make it through that week. They need to get from like the 1st to the 8th without getting a tattoo.
Right.
And so they have to go in to the, but you know, but like if you fail to show up at the appointment, then like, you know,
then they come and get you.
The identity like, police shows up at your door. So he has to go and get a fake tattoo or get a tattoo not on himself.
Fake arms ensue.
Yeah. And then they.
I really like the Zach.
Yeah. I think some combination of fake arm and paying off the tattoo giver to not notice, like, so that there's multiple angles to this.
Yes. Because I don't think that, like,
right.
Look, I think that the only way that you could fool the tattoo artist would be like if you actually chop off someone else's arm and find some way to keep it like intermittently alive during the process.
It
or
depends
something.
How far we are into the future, right? Because like there's a world where like they could go to the high school chemistry class and like get some stem cells together
and grow an arm.
Yeah, exactly. Or like grow an
arm. I kind of like that actually.
Arm. Yeah, enough of an arm that they can like kind of like shove it,
graft
like,
it onto.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then peel off the skin later. Oh, this is gross in a way that I like.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But I still think, Sarah, that there is something to kind of like, you know, well, the tattoo artist is doing it, but then there's also like kind of like all the cameras that go back to like central feed.
Yeah.
And so there is kind of this element of you can still be like, you know, we still need the tattoo artist to be in on it because they'll notice. Like they're an expert. It's foolish to try to fool them. But we can fool Central. Like Central can look at the footage
unless and be like, yep. The closest thing to a tattoo guy is like the kind of not to besmirch the profession of ice cream truck man, but like kind of the ice cream truck guy who just like drives the thing, and then like the actual tattoo thing is a robot, and he just like makes sure it like turns on and then turns it off.
Right, and this is a case where maybe like the supervisor is like the 17-year-old's like older sibling or something. Ooh. And so maybe they can be in on it of trying to get a member of their family into an upper echelon of society.
Right.
And I think that there can be like multiple layers. Like, you know, like there can be sort of something where it's like, no, you go and you go to the robot doesn't make mistakes. But if the robot happened to just like break down that day, then you got to do it manually, and manually you can talk to the guy that's doing it.
Right.
And, you know, and like this guy, he's like unbuyable. Like that guy is like completely by the book. But if there was an accident and he had to be called out of town, then like, you know, Jeffrey, the backup guy, gets called in. And Jeffrey, you know, Jeffrey, he can be bent a little bit. Jeffrey can be, you know, maneuvered.
Jeffrey has passions. Jeffrey loves to bet on the horses.
Let's be real.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I hear you.
Right.
I'm slow in the uptake.
Jeffrey has hopes and dreams, and all of them involve money.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, but then you kind of need to sort of, you know, like maneuver this, and it has to be, the timing needs to be exquisite, because if you break the robot too early, the mechanic is able to come out and fix it, and then everything is back to normal. Mm-hmm. If you know, like, this other guy gets called out too early, then they get a guy from a different city instead of Jeffrey, who is really, like, their last resort. So there is kind of this like Ocean's 11, you're stealing your own future element to it.
Steal your future. I like that. So there's probably like a whole team, you know, sort of Amelia Project style, who can like facilitate this transfer of identity. And this is maybe, it's either these are all high school kids and this is the first time that they're doing it, or this is not the first time they're doing it, but the person they're doing it for ends up with an identity that gives them like a secret mission to go and do something else. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think that it is the, like, you know, this is their established profession. They help people get, they call the batters to get them to better positions.
Yeah.
This is just a higher level of thing than they've usually done. Like, exactly. Like,
if normally
it's like, look, we help you get you these cards that like fake this thing for like an event that you're not supposed to go to. But they've never done anything that is like, oh, we've never like helped someone get a different tattoo than what they're meant to have.
Mostly we help people.
I see.
Mostly we help people live in anonymity. Never before have we worked with anybody.
We're really good at removing the tattoos.
Right, right.
Yes.
And like letting you have an identity that like you can go shop at the Gap and like get your fucking takeout and chill.
Right, and have a little bit more, you know, your universal income is a little bit higher or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And ending on a note of UBI, is time. That is time, unfortunately.
How about the unnamed for a title?
That's pretty good. I really like that.
The name, I'd watch that.
Maybe unmarked. The nameless, maybe? I don't know.
The nameless? Yeah, no, maybe I really like nameless. It.
Fuck yeah. Good idea.
Or bad idea, but good story. Yeah,
you're right. Good source idea. Horrible gentleman. Look, if you're going to be anti-vax, just like come out and
get vaccinated.
Or just do that.
No, and like, what a waste of a vaccine on top of everything else.
Right. Like, I expected this from the like profiteering motherfuckers who'd be like back four times in a day to like, you know, peddle their stolen vaccine on the black market.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're going to go real in horror just a little bit longer at this idea. But once we get back, we're going to do our second bad idea of the year. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello there, Zach Valenti, jumping into this episode with this brief reminder that we have an active Patreon page to support the production of No Bad Ideas and all the other crazy worlds we're building behind the scenes. To check that out, scope the sweet rewards we offer for monthly subscriptions, as well as how to sign up yourself. Head on over to nobadideaspodcast.com/support. Once more, that's nobadideaspodcast.com/support. If you already support the show, we so appreciate that. And regardless, thank you for listening. All right, let's get back to more No Bad Ideas.
Alrighty, well, now that we have all talked to a friend or a loved one about the importance of getting vaccinated, I have another bad idea for us. This one comes to us from Wired magazine.
Okay.
And it is, it's a personal essay about a thing that happened to a gentleman named Albert Fox Kahn.
Okay.
And I'm just going to read the headline.
What a name.
Because it's amazing. It is, strong name. Anyway, so headline reads, I accidentally hacked a Peruvian crime ring.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So to go on, the article reads, and if you want to read along, dear listeners, this will be in the episode. The link will be in the episode description. As soon as I arrived in Lima last week, I did what countless travelers do every day. Go to the cell phone store to get a SIM card with a local number.
Right.
But this typically mundane ritual, no more exciting than exchanging your dollars for euros, soon turned unexpected. I hacked a criminal network.
My God.
When I was planning my trip, narcotics were the last thing on my mind. In the sanguine days before Omicron, Peru felt like a dream, a dose of warmth and sunshine before heading home to a bleak New York winter. But minutes after I left the Movistar store, phone number in hand, I found my new holiday pastime, telling people they had the wrong number. I assumed that it'd be at a minor annoyance, a few text messages before people passed the word around, but things got much stranger when I installed WhatsApp. The problem started with a jarring home screen. Instead of the fresh slate of a new account, I was met with a list of dozens of groups that I was apparently already a member of, even with my embarrassingly poor Spanish. Terms like dark web stood out, and sexually suggestive emojis required no translation.
Oh boy.
Then I started getting messages. And while most of you will never find yourself embroiled in a Peruvian crime ring, your digital life faces the exact same vulnerabilities. WhatsApp is encrypted, so people felt secure to speak candidly. And they began to speak a lot about drugs, sex work, and other terms I did not want to translate.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
People told me about upcoming deliveries, mentioned places I had never heard of. I was in heaven, sitting beside a rooftop pool overlooking the beaches and cliffs of Miraflores and having a panic attack.
That might be the best
in my body. In my body, I was in heaven, but in my phone, I was in hell.
Exactly.
<Wow. laughs>
I started playing out scenes from cheesy mob movies, the naive bystander who's killed because he saw too much. So I deleted everything, every message, every group. I went through the mental exercises to blur my own memories, forcing myself to forget. But people continued to reach out. And when I continued to explain they had the wrong person, they were insistent, delete the number.
Answer. Wow. Just like ignore that shit. Just block those numbers. Something, man. Okay, continue.
And then my favorite sentence in this whole article. And that's how I ended up giving cybersecurity advice to a crime ring.
Wow.
I promised to delete the account, to switch the number, but then I explained how they were already compromised. Like so many WhatsApp accounts, my predecessor number didn't have a PIN, the opt-in security feature that can block exactly what I did by accident, taking over another person's account, and in effect, the other person's world. I could get a new number, but without a PIN, whoever got the number Movistar had loaned me would end up facing the exact same horrors.
Yep.
As in nearly every country in South America, WhatsApp is Peru's most popular communication platform. In some countries, the Facebook-owned app is so ubiquitous that it has effectively replaced texting, allowing users to circumvent phone company charges and reliably connect in areas with poor cell coverage. As in nearly every country in South America, WhatsApp is Peru's most popular communications platform.
Yep.
In some countries, the Facebook-owned app is so ubiquitous that it has effectively replaced texting, allowing users to circumvent phone company charges and reliably connect in areas with poor cell coverage. Another draw is, of course, security. But while encryption is indispensable, it's not enough. End-to-end encryption means Facebook and anyone who intercepts your messages can't read the contents of what you wrote, but they can know everything else. With WhatsApp, they know who your contacts are, what groups you belong to, and when and whom you're sending messages to.
And also if messages get to you, like...
Yeah. While WhatsApp has supported two-factor authentication since 2017, it has never been a default requirement, and no one knows exactly how many of WhatsApp's 2 billion accounts are unsecured. WhatsApp should make PINs mandatory, or at least the default, but it's far from alone. Not only do encrypted messenger platforms like Signal have similar vulnerabilities, but many others do too. Even after I deleted WhatsApp, I continued to receive a flurry of texts from banks and payment apps, all looking to confirm someone else's identity. This article is fascinating, and it has a little bit more detail about sort of the vulnerabilities in WhatsApp, Apple Pay, and other platforms. But takeaway...
Let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I got this.
Is, okay, you got it.
All right.
Put 10 minutes on a timer.
So... we've got 2 guys. They are struggling musicians. There's no work for them in the States. So they fly down to Peru.
I see.
And they get some cell phones because, you know, they need to WhatsApp with like the guy that's setting up their gigs down in Peru. Mm. But then.
Yeah, one's a bass player.
Correct. Yes. The other one, I think, was piano. I'm just making this up. Let's say piano. That's right, because this is what I'm inventing in my head right now for this movie that is new. And so they get these phones and they immediately start getting all of these things that are like, hey, guys, here's where the delivery is going to happen. And also, like, these are the 3 people that we're going to kill and this and that and the other. And immediately they're like, oh, shit, this is bad. But then one of them accidentally is like, hey, I don't think the 2 of us, name and name, should be receiving this. And then the messages, of course, are like, okay, new plan. Those 2 people, add them to the list of people that we're going to kill. And so then they're like, oh, shit, we need to disappear. We need to get like a new digital footprint.
Yes.
And so they decide that the way to do that is to start pretending that they have the only 2 identities that they can quickly buy from the underground identity market, which are these 2 female performers. And this is the beginning of my movie, Nobody Likes It Cold.
Right. They hop on a train that goes across the Andes, and Fall In was a female band.
That's right, exactly. But little do they know that the band is going to a place where a lot of the people that are getting killed by the mob are going to be at, like all
right,
these things.
Right, it's a resort
together.
Villa that is owned by the mob, so they're at a mob villa.
That's right.
But there happens to be a very eccentric American entrepreneur who is also there.
No. Argentinian entrepreneur.
Argentinian, the rest of it, spot on. Dear listeners, if you have not seen the film Some Like It Hot, it's wonderful. Great Billy Wilder movie. You should watch it.
Also, everything that just happened in the last 2 minutes was hilarious.
Are you both happy now?
Quite. This was time excellently spent.
I don't disagree.
I would say so. 7:55 to come up with an actual idea.
honestly, that's less time than I thought I wasted. No, so I mean, so like, I think that is the intuitive, obvious first answer of just kind of like somebody ends up in this country, they get just deep enough that it's now hard for them to get out of it. And then they accidentally start getting this information. And, you know, if it's serious, it's North by Northwest, where people are like, no, I mean, you're definitely the hitman that like we hired. Like, that's the man that is getting those messages. And he's just like, I'm really, really not. But he ends up getting like embroiled with these people. And then if it's comedy, it's Some Like It Hot, where it's like we have to kind of fake our way out of this. But we're like very, you know, all over the place and chaotic as we try to shambolically exit the country as quickly as possible.
Right.
Yeah. I think if it's North by Northwest, then like you have the character who people think he is the hitman. And then you have the hitman who is trying to get out. And he realizes our protagonist realizes that they are maybe perhaps being set up. So that someone else can steal their identity and get back and get out of the country that way. And so, you can have a duel between these two figures with the mob in the background.
I mean, that's kind of freaky where that's a good turn where you think that the entire movie is going to be him trying to get out of Peru or wherever this is set. And then they get to the airport and they're like, hi, I'm Ron Peterson. Like, I have my ticket out of here. And they're like, we don't know what you're
Ron
talking
Peterson
about.
Ron Peterson is already on the plane.
Yeah, like Ron Peterson has checked in already. And it's like, no, but I'm Ron Peterson. And it's like, actually, like the records indicate that you're actually Javier Peralta. So, and also the police want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's a good like turn where like the first half of it is set in Latin America and then the second half of it is set in Ohio where the guy has to like get back.
I love this. Not that I don't love the North by Northwest situation. I think there's a lot of room for, you know, sort of broad comedy there and, you know, maybe some cross-dressing or maybe not.
You mean the Some Like It Hot situation?
Yeah, that's the comedy situation.
Okay.
But so, I'm down for either.
So let me see if I got this and pick a direction in the process.
great.
Yeah.
So we've got a traveler.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who finds themselves with a new SIM card in their travels, as one does, who is being hounded for confirmation that they are going to make the hit. And it is very clear to them very quickly that they have the wrong number, but there's no convincing them.
They don't speak Spanish, but the word asesino is close enough.
That one you can read. And like the gun emojis. Emojis are a universal language.
Exactly. Yes.
Meanwhile, there is the actual assassin who, it turns out, orchestrated this switcheroo with sort of the intent of escaping what I'm going to say was sort of a setup where he got hired to make a high-level assassination that he kind of knew there was no way out of except to put somebody else in his shoes.
And just to make it like, just to put like a tiny bit more meat on the bones.
Yeah.
The guy goes to like Mobistar, buys the phone. On his way out, somebody bumps into him. He doesn't think anything of it. Mm-hmm. But that was like the assassin bumping into him and sleight of handing, grabbing like the guy's phone and slipping his own phone into the guy's pocket so that like the switch happens.
I like it. We've got the that guy now, but maybe also took his passport. Like that's where it's like, how much is the assassin trying to like get out of Dodge by assuming the identity of this person?
The previous day, his bags were stolen at a hotel. And he's already missing that information. And the embassy's like, don't worry, we got it. Go do like whatever gig you were doing, you go and do that. We got you. Don't worry. Just like come back here in a week. Your flight is in 8 days. Come back here the day before your flight. We'll have a nice new passport ready for you. We got this. We don't leave Americans in the lurch. It's okay.
And then he comes back to the embassy.
And the embassy's like, that passport has already been taken, sir. Like, we don't know what you're talking about.
Shit. And so then I guess we should probably think through the assassination. Which I'm imagining doesn't happen, obviously, because the assassin's trying to get out of it. They're like kind of being like, so you're going to do this, right? And then when it doesn't happen, he's on the hook and kind of becomes the target.
It's interesting. It's one of these things where it's like, if this was like a Michael Mann movie, if this was like Collateral or something, it would be like he would realize that the only way to get out of, like, you know, the evil powers that be are going to pay him like $10 million for the hit.
And, so and get him over the border to get the heat off of him.
Right, right.
So, like, that's the only way. He has to actually pull off this assassination in order to start tailing the real assassin.
And he might find a way to convincingly fake the assassination.
Yes,
I think that may be the key. Like, you know, like, and but
especially
like,
if he's like a performer, you know.
Yeah.
And has like some, can put, bring some stagecraft to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
But no, but I think that, yeah, like first third of the movie is like, oh shit, people want me to kill this dude. Let's run. Then that doesn't work for a while. Then it's like, oh shit, the only way out of this is to kill the dude or to convincingly look like I killed the dude. And then the last third of it is like, welcome back to Ohio, motherfucker. The time has come to settle our differences.
Right. I've never been to the great state of Ohio, so I don't know like an iconic place for them to have like a final showdown, but somewhere
Akron,
in Ohio.
I don't know.
Yeah, but there's no like, you know, if it was happening in like Chicago, it would be like on an L train.
Oh, sure, sure, know? Sure. Like, yeah. Right.
Like,
if it was happening in
maybe,
New York, it would be like at the foot of the Statue of Liberty or something.
Right. So like in Ohio, I don't know, maybe like the Cavaliers basketball stadium or something. My apologies to Ohio. Yeah.
No, we are very Ohio literate and that is entirely our problem. We're sorry.
Well, about 40 seconds left. What's this called?
New phone. Who dis?
I mean,
I was going to suggest what's mine is yours, but that is way, way better.
You can't mess with perfection like that.
Except it would have to be like nuevo teléfono, quién es, yeah, or something.
Right. With like the quizzical monocle emoji.
Right. Man, this would be one of those movies where like you would get like, I think you would need to have like the text messages he's getting or the WhatsApp messages he's getting in Spanish subtitled so that the English speaking audiences can see just how dangerous and bad it is. And then he's just like responding with like three of the quizzical eye emoji. Just like, what's going on? I don't get it.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, that was time. Right. That was great, guys.
Holy fuck.
Oh, my Lord.
Jesus.
Well, I hope this man does not face reprisals. Although I guess he did help them with their cybersecurity. So
yeah.
If anything, they're probably grateful.
That is amazing. That really is a stellar idea, Sarah.
we're now so steeped in this that like when I find something like that, I'm like, yes, good.
Right.
Thank you, world.
I think it had Hall of Fame status by the poolside, being in paradise and having
the
an
phone,
anxiety attack.
I was in hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it was, yeah. No, that was
incredible.
Tremendous.
Well, this idea was tremendous. Y'all are tremendous. Our listeners are tremendous. And we are very happy to be back.
2022, baby. Let's do it the wrong way so that we have more material for this show.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, Jeffrey Felsher, and Dia. Today's episode features music by Stature and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review wherever you listen and share it with someone you love.